We're happy to welcome Dr. Alina Rizia-Rusu to give a talk tonight on an Orthodox journey to healthy life.
All right. Thank you all for coming. And really didn't expect that many people. Nicole told me there are going to be five. And she says she doesn't want to be the sixth.
Oh, my God.
Because she heard me talk all the time. So I want to first apologize for my bad English. I'm going to use words probably wrongly and also my accent, so
it's great.
Apologize from the start.
We like it. But see, you can use professional doctor words and we won't know what they
are.
There
you go.
Right. I'm going to try to stay away from that. But anyway, my talk is going to be in two parts. The first part is about more like why this is important and how to do this, and the last part next week is going to be about exactly what to do, and a lot of it is going to be obviously on nutrition, which I think is a big part of being healthy. So I guess the nitty-gritty is next week. The first part is going to be more related to Orthodoxy than the second, obviously. So the reason I decided to keep this talk is because I'm basically at awe how many people I see in my office every day are extremely unhealthy. Not only that, but I mean, they don't feel good. They've been like that for years. Most of them starting as children, and they also don't seem to either know what to do or want to do anything to change that. And to me, that is puzzling to the point that I almost at some point felt discouraged to even practice medicine anymore, because I really don't feel that we're making any difference. And the medicine, the way it is today, we've gotten very good at treating a couple of things, mostly acute, and we basically, I was going to use a different word, but I'm not going to use that. We basically are not very good at treating a lot of the chronic problems that people suffer from.
By acute, you mean like cancer or something serious?
No, that's not acute. Acute, I mean by like a pneumonia and like appendicitis or something that's surgical,
that
very good at surgery. Right, yeah, a broken bone, you know, things like that. Trauma, yeah, but not so much the rest. So before I gave up practice of medicine, I decided I better, you know, do a little more research and find a way to help people to change things. Sorry.
Keep going. I'm going to put someone here.
Okay.
Right here.
Well, so I'm going to start with this. I think that it's important what you do to have a healthy life, but I think it's more important to try to understand why you should try to do that. Why is it so important to eat and live a healthier life? Because until you understand why, you're probably not going to change anything. And then after that, how are you to change things? I think that's also very important. And then the last piece of the puzzle, obviously, what to do and what to apply. This will never work. If I tell my patients you should eat healthier and start exercising, quit smoking, don't take drugs, don't smoke, all that, most of my patients start laughing. And they laugh for about 10 minutes and that's about it. So so I think, you know, I realize that, and then they keep coming year after year for their annual checkup and, tests, and they don't get any healthier, obviously. So I realize that I need to find their motivation. People need to actually have a motivation. If I tell you should do this because you're going to be healthy, that does not mean anything to most people, or nothing, you know, important enough to change something. So everybody has a different motivation, but for us as Orthodox, this brings me to the Orthodox part of the talk. I think we as Orthodox faith practicing people, we have a very good motive, and that's because God expects us to do so. So this is, theology of health is not something I invented. I think I've heard this or read this somewhere. I'm not talking about physical beauty in any way. I'm just talking about taking care of your body. I think that long time ago, even in antiquity, the Greek philosopher considered body being evil. The spirit is what's important. And so many Christians today ignore their bodies. They spend a lot of time trying to, you know, get smarter, reading books, trying to get more spiritual, but I think that they forget all about the body. And I would argue that keeping your body healthy is actually a spiritual discipline. And I think it's something that we can read through the Bible, why that is. So everything I put here, Corinthians 6 says all about that. The body is meant but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And do you not know that your bodies are the temple of Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? And you are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. I think it does not get any more clear than that. I think it is important to take care of our bodies, our temple. And then by doing that, we will be a good example to our, what I call mini church, which is your family. And then your other church, which is your other family, the extended family. So there's more. The Bible is basically full of instructions on how to take care of your body and why is it important to do that. I put here.
To your left, like,
yes, I'm sorry.
Just like,
am I in it?
Like, that's perfect.
I'm trying to not be in Mary's way.
Okay. Do you want to move over here, Mary?
Do you want? If you want to look on the computer, Mary, I'm just like, it's right here. Because you're not gonna be able to see on the wall. So our minds affect our bodies. There's a lot of medical scientific research about how our body gets sick when our minds are not doing well, but in the same time, our bodies also affect our mind. If you're sick or have no energy or don't feel good or whatever it may be, you are not going to be able to function well. Your brain will not function well. So I think this will affect basically your whole entire life and everything you're trying to do. So I like Romans 12 where it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, mainly because today, here, everybody around you probably does the wrong thing, and we'll try to bring you down in the process. So if we understand why this is so important to us as Orthodox, then it will be a little easier to make the right choice by free will, obviously. And that's the only way you can make a change that will be a lifelong change and will be a sustainable change. And St. John Chrysostom says, habit is a difficult thing. It is hard to break and hard to avoid. Which is so true, right? Mm-hmm. We all keep going back to our habits, good or bad, but mostly bad. So taking care of our body, it was entrusted to us. We're the steward of it. The Spirit of God lives in us. I would argue that is very, very important to take care of the body so we don't destroy it by, you know, stress, bad food, lack of sleep, and whatever else that we might be doing. If you keep your faith as foundation for your health and you start thinking about food, nutrition, exercise in a different way, and not just to keep this alive, then you can actually start making some healthy choices one day at a time. Mm-hmm. Actually one bite at a time, and I call this the orthodox journey. And it's going to be a long journey. So diets don't work. I mean, the one thing people come in my office and ask every time, you need to put me on a diet, you need to give me a pill. And at that point, you know, basically I'm speechless, because diets don't work. We all know that. We have to make a change, lifestyle changes. You hear that all the time, every day. What does that mean? You have to change your habits. And by God's power, not by willpower. Willpower can only take you so far. You're going to resist not eating that big bowl of ice cream for about a month. Or maybe less. For some people. but it will not last forever. So we have to depend on God's power and ask for help. And lifestyle changes are hard in the beginning, and they take persistence, but they are very rewarding in the end. And in fact, I will argue that you will see results pretty soon after you start making those changes, and you'll be encouraged to continue. John 8 says, if you continue to obey my teaching, you are truly my followers, and the truth shall make you free and healthy, I would argue. And every time you look at that bowl of ice cream, remember that there is pleasure in sin only for a short time. So then how to do it? Yes, in a way, no. So how to do it? In the same way you're trying to get rid basically of any temptation or resist any temptation and get rid of any other sin or bad habits that we might have. So first you have to repent. So you have to be very truthful about who you are. Look at everything you do and realize why you're doing it. And come in front of God repenting of that. And ask for help and to change, basically. But I would say that if you start thinking differently about your body as being not your own, and something that should be as holy as possible, and also start thinking differently about the food, which I'll come to in my second part of the talk, then you'll start making healthy choices. And you will have to replace these habits, not to resist them. Resistance does not work. You have to replace them with something good. And obviously, like I said, ask God's help to do that. Why is this so hard? This is what I hear all the time. I've tried many times and failed. I've been discouraged. I'm too old. It's too late. That's who I am. I don't have time. I don't have money. I don't have power. I'm a weak person. Whatever you say, I've heard it. And I would argue that none of those are true. They're basically just lies that you tell yourself. Our minds are telling us lies constantly, all the time. We just have to stop those lies and talk back at them. I heard that from somebody, and that's actually true. So I read something you wrote the other day on Facebook, Mary, yeah. That you said that our thoughts affect our lives. That's absolutely true. I think it was Elder Tadeusz that said mm-hmm. that. Absolutely true. Our thoughts determine the way we feel, and that determines the way we act. And so we have to change our thoughts. There's a small part in that slide there that says people around you can bring you down, but they can also help. And Ecclesiastes tells us two are better than one. This is where I was thinking to have this talk with our sisterhood, because I think that if you find anything from this and the second part talk interesting or important enough to want to apply, we could try to do something together. This was the whole part of the whole point of my talk was to try to have some people maybe try these things and see how it works, and supporting each other is a big part of this. All the studies done ever with people trying to make changes in any situation have shown that if there's two instead of one, it's always better, and the more the better, because you do need others to support you, and we know that in church. We know why that's important. But people these days can bring you down quite a bit. I have a medical assistant at work that comes every day to me with a sugary treat. And she keeps asking me, would you like one? Would you like one? And I keep saying no and no and no. And she says, one of these days you're gonna say yes. And I'm almost inclined to say yes one day to make her happy. But I don't understand why she's doing that. It makes her life... it's so important for her, for me to take that sweet. But people do that all the time. At work, everywhere you go, there's bad stuff, and they encourage you to participate into that. So when it's hard, one quote that I absolutely love, and every time it's hard for me, this has helped me a lot. Father Seraphim Rose says, only struggle a little more. Carry your cross without complaining. Don't think you are special. Don't justify your sins and wickedness, but see yourself for who you really are. And especially love one another. This is one of my favorite of all times, and it comes to mind every time I'm in some hard, sour situation. It helps. It almost picks you up immediately. So one of the unhealthy things that I would argue probably not the most, but very important thing is mindless eating.
Sorry. I'm getting a picture of your slide.
People don't put very much emphasis on this, but it is extremely important. And I've actually experimented it at home with my family, and it makes a big difference. So we need to pay attention to what we eat, why we eat, and how much, obviously, how much we eat. We have to sit down. Don't eat standing or in a rush. Sit down and take the time. It does not take that long anyway, particularly if the plates are small.
And you're fasting.
But it's extremely important. Just the fact that you sit down and... I look at eating like communion with God. The same way we come to take communion on Sunday, we should have the same attitude every time we sit down to eat. And basically, we sing right before communion, put away your earthly cares. We should do the same thing when we eat. It changes our whole hormonal balance. If you're gonna eat when you're angry or stressed by something or in a rush or whatever the situation may be, your hormones, I would argue, for example, the cortisol, which is one of the big bad guys, will be a high level in your body, and the food that you eat could be extremely healthy. It would still not be as nutrition and as good for you as it would have been if you just sat down and try to calm yourself before you actually ate that. There are minor studies about this. Obviously, there's not a lot of interest in this area for it to be a huge study out there for me to say that that's true, but from all I know about, you know, what happens when you eat, and this is extremely important. Sitting down and saying a prayer before this will accomplish that. It will calm your mind, will put your worries or stress or whatever it is to side. Would also help you concentrate on the food. I'm going to argue that the food will taste better. You will also probably, and this has been proven by studies, you will eat about 30% less just by the fact that you're concentrating on it. And Also, just by saying a prayer, you would hope that the food is blessed, and we believe that that will be a lot more nutritious to us because it will change our chemistry in a different way. This is why we bless our water, we bless our food same way. And then after we eat, we should say some thankful prayers as well. Very small, I mean, doesn't have to be elaborate and long. But that will also help our bodies digest and really take the nutrition that we just had in the proper way. So take time and experiment yourself, but I would encourage you to do this as much as you can because this is extremely important. St. Basil the Great said the same thing. When you sit down to eat, pray. And then the last piece of puzzle there, it says don't make healthy eating an idol. That's also very important, I think, that if you obsess too much about when to eat, what to eat, how much to eat, it becomes an idol. That's also not healthy. People these days watch hours of on TV at food channels. They watch others cooking. They don't cook themselves. It's mind-blowing to me. But they spend so much time thinking about this, but really almost never applying anything, which is... which is difficult for me to understand, but anyway. So this is what I call the pyramid of health. You have to start with faith, and you have to believe that you can change. You need to focus on God. This is basically just to summarize a little bit what I said until now. Don't focus on yourself, and don't focus on what other people say or do or tell you to do. Just focus on God. And then after that, you can make healthy choices as far as nutrition goes. And nutrition is, for me, key. Is the key to unlock your healthy life. Because if you feel healthy enough or well enough, you have enough energy, you will most likely be inclined to exercise. And the more of that you do, you will feel better, you will sleep better, the stress will start to melt away, your mind will work better, you'll find yourself that you focus better, your thoughts will change, you'll start feeling happier. A cheerful heart is a good medicine, so that will lead into your spiritual health. And then, obviously, others will come around you, and you'll have a very fulfilling social life because people do like happy people around around them. The exercise, there's only one little mention I put there, that there are studies that show that any type of movement of the body on a regular basis impacts not only your physical health but also all the areas of your life, intellectual, emotional, social, financial, and spiritual. I did not know. There are studies out there that have looked at people that exercise more or less, and they figured out the people that do more have more money.
Yeah, they probably spend less money.
Because they have better health and they're more efficient in their work. And what?
They might have the money to exercise.
Well, you know.
To begin with, I mean, yeah.
Exercise can be done anywhere, and yeah, that's. I would argue that we could be in motion. I said in motion. I didn't say go to the gym. Right. I said in motion. Every little motion actually counts. Mm-hmm. 1 minute. 2 minutes. Any little motion counts. The more you do, the better it is. Because we are made to toil the field. We were supposed to work hard physically for everything. And we don't do pretty much anything at all these days. So,
take the card.
Yes. Yeah. Come weed and take care of the garden.
Yeah.
Right. So that is a form of motion. Absolutely true. Might be hard for some people, but it is, yeah, any kind of physical work counts as exercise. It does not have to be gym. That's not what I mean when I say exercise. So let's start with the nutrition. Let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. I think it was Hippocrates that said that. What do I mean by food or nutrition? yes, food is important to keep your body, bring all the nutrients, have energy. Food is also very important in spending time with your family and friends. It reconnects families, keeps traditions alive. There's a lot of traditions around food. But for me and for this talk, the most important part is that it heals your body. Food is medicine. The actually most powerful drug in the world, I would say. Cheaper, better, and no side effects. And it's amazing to me how many people prefer to have a pill than to change their foods.
It's quick and easy.
I would say 95% of my patients basically go into this category. I can count on my fingers how many people say, no, I will change something, I don't want a pill. That's how many, less than that. And I have a lot of patients. So, a couple of sayings from our elders or saints, actually saints. Saint Simeon, the New Theologian, says that fasting is the mother of health, the friend of chastity, the partner of humble mindedness. Illnesses are frequently born in many forms from a disorderly and irregular diet. Quite true, extremely true. And Saint Seraphim of Sarov says, every day one should partake of just enough food to permit the body being fortified to be a friend and a helper to the soul in permitting the virtues. Otherwise, with the body exhausted, the soul may also be weakened. This is why I said it's so important for the body to be healthy. You can't fight other sins or temptations if you're weakened physically, basically. So what should we eat? Real food. It's as simple as that. Why is it important? Because every bite of food we ingest will change the expression of our genes. I was talking to Rebecca earlier about how genetically some people are predisposed to have this or the other or to live longer. Actually, statistically in studies are showing that that's not true. We have maybe 5 to 10 the most percent of our genes will determine certain diseases, but 90 to 95%, it's all into our hands, is what we do. I'm going to argue that food is a huge part of that. So I've underlined every bite there because I do hear people all the time saying, well, this will not kill me, one thing. It will. That one bite, that one piece of something will make changes in your structure and in your body. It will even change your genetic gene expression. And that will change hormones and vitamins and proteins and everything. It does make a difference. That's why I said a bite at a time. If you eat real food, you probably can cure most of the chronic diseases that people suffer from these days. Which I call man-man diseases, man-made.
Man-made.
Mm-hmm. We cause them ourselves.
Can you give
they
us
didn't
some
exist.
Of those?
I'll get to those. But yes, like diabetes, heart disease, high cholesterol, cancers, autoimmune diseases, some cancers, not all. And I'm not putting all in that, but those are just some examples of chronic diseases that could potentially be cured. real food contains messages, instructions, and information that tells our body what to do to heal itself or to harm itself. This is where our science has gotten so wrong, because science decided to look at food as mere nutrients. They will talk about protein, carbohydrates, lipid fats, but food is actually a system, and it works together. And if you don't have the whole system together, trying to get into your body, it's not the same thing. This is why scientists made a mistake, and you know, little by little, we find out that why things don't work the way they thought it would. So I look at this as dropping the ocean. Well, not necessarily ocean, but you know, if you have a bucket of water, you put a drop of blue in there. One drop will make it just a little less, you know, a little more color, and then the more you put, the more colorful it gets. So that's how food affects our inside, our microcosmos. We are starving for real food. Because of what's out there these days, our bodies don't know what we're eating anymore. There's pretty much no nutrients in the food that exist these days here in America. The body will try to eat more and more, so people are hungrier and hungrier. They feel hungry all the time because the body does not get nutrition. We have to find it somewhere and give it to, otherwise we'll develop all those chronic conditions I was talking about. Statistically, there is a huge increase in autoimmune disorders. That means our body will fight our own body for unclear reasons. Something determines that our immune system starts attacking ourselves, and that's mainly because the food we're ingesting is not recognized as food, and so the body will try to fight it and get rid of it, and in the process it fights us. Food allergies, huge increase in that, cancers, obesity, etc. We'll get to a little more later. How about secular world? Pretty much most people eat a standard American diet, or SAD, which I found so funny, right? So sad, really.
Did you make that term up?
No, I did not make the term up. That's an actual term that it's in our it's in our books. But I found it how appropriate. For the first time in history, people suffer from too much. Not food, substances, as I call them. 7 in 10 Americans are overweight, and 1 in 2 of them suffer of some form of chronic disease. Like I said earlier, diabetes, heart disease, stroke. U.S. spends $3 trillion per year trying to cure or keep alive people that are, so 80% of those people suffering of chronic lifestyles that I call them reversible and preventable with the right food. This is what, it's just a fun slide, that what average American consume per year.
Not weekend.
Like about 24 pounds in artificial sweeteners. That's about, what, 2 pounds a month?
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. 53 gallons of soda. This is just a statistic. Yes. That's amazing. And if I would put a statistic from, I don't know, 1800s out there, you will be surprised.
Is the salt... put salt that you put on, or is it salt that's in the food?
No, it's the salt you put on top of this. Yeah, just separate salt, just salt added. Just to give you like a quick idea, during communism, we had a poor portion of food. We had like food tickets that we were allowed per month. And per family, we're allowed 1 kilo, that's about 2 pounds. 2 pounds of flour and 2 pounds of sugar per family, per month.
Jeez.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. looking at that and that. Yes, that was very good. In fact, yeah, that was one of the healthiest diets ever. We have Ceausescu to thank for being healthy.
Do people have gardens?
Yes.
To supplement?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh no, vegetables were free. I mean, the only ratio portions that we had were for oil, flour, sugar.
Meat?
No, meat there was nowhere.
Plentiful.
No, meat there was nowhere.
Oh.
Eggs there were nowhere. Milk, it wasn't rationed, but you couldn't find it. No, those are the things we were getting on our ticket.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Corn, we had corn. A lot of people in the countryside will have it and sell it to some degree. So this is why I guess polenta is very common in my country because it was more freely found than flour. So this is from 2010, I think I found this slide. I try to find something to just kind of look at so it kind of has a little bigger impact. But this is an old slide, 2009 maybe, something like that. 63% of the food consumed is processed. 25% on top of that is animal food and about 6% plant because the other 6% is grains or something like that. So I guess that's where bread comes.
This is now?
Yeah.
2009,
2010, something like, yeah, nine, I think it says there.
Now.
It's probably worse, yes, yeah. All the slides you look, everything just keeps going up somewhere to heaven. So why do people eat unhealthy foods? It's cheaper.
Yeah.
This is what I hear all the time. Yes. I'm going to argue each and every one of those, actually. It's faster, it's easier, it's tastier.
All the MSG.
And more and more there. So let's argue. Is it convenient, comfortable, or cheaper to be depressed, tired, sick, take lots of medication? I would say it's not cheaper. Our health bills bankrupt everybody. It's a lot cheaper to be healthy. And with our health system being revamped, yet again, I'm going to say that it is a lot cheaper to be healthy. So spend a little, maybe, if it's more expensive. I mean, we can get into the next part of the talk when I really talk about food, how to go for the cheaper and healthy foods. But if you eat maybe something that's just a little bit more expensive and less of it, in the end, your cost per month is actually not a lot higher. And there's a lot of good food out there that's not expensive. Tastier? Maybe. Or I would argue people have not ate good food, or real food, as I call it, and the taste buds are corrupted.
Yes.
I was talking to Tommy this morning. We were talking about food a little bit, and he said something about, well, do you eat, you know, pizza and whatever, soda? And I said, no, and it's easy to me because it tastes awful. People at work call me inhuman. Inhumane, I don't know how you say it properly, but because I always say no to everything that's out there at work on the table, but everything is extremely unhealthy, and they say, how can you resist? And I said, it's not about resistance, this just has an awful taste to me, because I grew up tasting food, real food. I came here and tomatoes tasted like paper. I'm going to say that the more of the real food you're going to eat, your taste buds will change. And if you give it enough time, I don't know, 6 months, a year, next time you're going to try something you had before that's really artificial and unhealthy, you will spit it out. Mm-hmm. You will not like it anymore. You just have to try it and see. Faster and easier, simple foods do not take very much time to prepare. So none of those, again, lies we tell ourselves really matters.
Can I witness on that?
What?
When I was in my early 20s, I don't know why, but I decided to go on a diet or eat more salad or something. I quit eating fast food. And I thought it was this huge sacrifice. Oh, those yummy burgers, those bacon cheeseburgers, whatever. And after about a month, I decided I'm going to treat myself to a bacon cheeseburger. I've been so good. And I took that first bite expecting heaven. And all I felt was this grease on my tongue. Like, what happened? I ruined my favorite food because I discovered that all it really was fat.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And yeah, don't take me for this word. Just change the way you eat real food that I'll talk about later. And in a year after that, or less, I don't know how long it takes really for everybody, but you'll. And I was going to stop here with this slide. So what to eat. There's the internet is full about different diets, right? Paleo diet, vegan, vegetarian, raw food, low carb, low fat, low calorie, gluten free, good, bad carbs. Interestingly enough, while I was researching, I Googled how many diets are out there. I don't know. I found somewhere saying about 54, but I don't know if that's true, but at least
more than that.
But anyway, I was trying to get a number. Many. And like I said earlier, diets do not work. Don't go for that. Just eat real food. But there's this fast diet I found where you're supposed to fast 2 days out of a week. where else we heard that? So apparently there's studies. The Europeans are big fans of this. In French, there's
they
a big... Well, yeah, they do eat better. Tastier food.
Yeah. Well, I read there's another variation of that also called the 11 to 7.
Okay.
Don't eat anything before 11 o'clock in the morning and don't eat anything after 7 o'clock at night. And then what you do eat good stuff. And actually, you know, two-thirds of the time you will not be eating. And they said it has affects your immune system,
right,
and your metabolism.
Yeah. I'm going to talk a little bit next time about the timing and that, just a little bit. There's a lot to talk about, but so I'm going to stop here.
Okay.
And if you guys have any, I hope I wasn't too boring.
I'm going to stop it. The recording.
The opposite of boring.
I want to keep going.
Doctor, thank you for coming. And next week we're focusing on some of the details of the food we eat.
Exactly. Next thing, we start with food, and it's mainly all about that.
Okay.
Timing, all kinds of things.
And thank you for the spiritual kind of foundation. I think it's important. It's very helpful.
Yes. Yeah, well, my husband said, you're wasting your time on that. And you just cut all that stuff out and just go straight to the stuff.
Good.
And
that's
I
good.
Said, well... I do that all the time, and doesn't seem to work. It works, so I'm going to try something else.
And when are your office hours, so we can all come?